SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back into hour number two of the Early Line on Wednesday morning, September 14th, 2022. Joe Ranieri, Donnie Wrightside here. We're going to switch it over to back to the Diamond, because we got some awards and some races to figure out. Now, before we hit the NL Cy Young market and the AL Cy Young market, I want to talk a little MVP very quickly here, because it looks like these are wrapped up here. Aaron Judge at FanDuel Sportsbook, a minus 1450 to win the MVP in the American League over Shohei Ohtani, who's a 7-1. Paul Goldschmidt, minus 2200 to win the NL MVP over Nolan Arenado, sitting at a 35-1. My question to you here in this market, Joe, is I understand that Aaron Judge is the betting favorite by a large margin. Smart people know, but at the same time, are we correct on this? Can we get a surprise on the voters going with Shohei Ohtani? And is there any value on Shohei at that 7-1 price?
Probably not. I mean, most of the, although it doesn't help when CC Sabathia is basically throwing Judge under the bus, saying that it should be Ohtani that is the MVP. And I happen to agree with him here. I mean, unless Judge is striking out 200 dudes and is the best pitcher on the Yankees as well. There is one truly MVP that cannot be replaced. Why? He takes two roster spots. He's a pitcher. Yeah. He's a dominating pitcher, and he's a pretty darn good hitter too. So I get it. I don't know, given the fact that I do believe the writers who vote for these awards, they got a lot of New York contingency there. So I do think Judge is safe, but I get the argument with Ohtani. I have said it. I had this argument with the Jordan years, the Kobe years, the LeBron years. These guys are truly the MVPs. There's great players, don't get me wrong, but they're MVPs. I don't care who you vote in with this popularity contest. Nobody is more valuable to a team than Ohtani.
It's a great point that you do bring up, because we saw him get the award last year, and everybody always wants the next thing here and says, yeah, we know he's good. What does Ohtani have to do? Well, he's got to hit 60 home runs and be the Cy Young Award winner. Then we'll give him the MVP this year.
Yeah,
so we've seen it before. Talking about the Cy Young.
He's got so much competition.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, what he's doing is absolutely insane at this point here. Yep. Cy Young, National League, and the American League. Interesting market here. Yesterday, during the Phillies game where Alcantara was on the mound, he was a minus 170 live for Cy Young. Wake up today, he's a minus 230. The American League Cy Young, very interesting. Verlander's been hurt and hasn't pitched in a few weeks here. Dylan Cease has seized the opportunity here. He's now minus 140. I'm more focused on that AL Cy Young. Is Cease going to win this thing for the Chicago White Sox, even if they don't make it to the playoffs? Because quite frankly, Alcantara and the Marlins, they're not getting there either.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty interesting that nobody's paying any attention to what Framber Valdez has done also. What is that, 25 exactly. Straight quality starts? My goodness. I always thought that Verlander had already done enough to warrant the award, whether he pitched again until the postseason or not. And it looks like we may or may not get another start out of him. Dylan Cease, though, there's nothing you could say. He had this stretch where it wasn't great, Donnie, but he's pitching right now, top of mind, awareness. Verlander, we haven't talked about him in a while. Cease is getting a lot of publicity. It is a bit of a popularity contest after all, so would it shock me if he gets it? No, but my vote would go to Verlander.
Yeah, and by the way, Cease pitching tonight, which we'll break down a little bit later in the show. Let's welcome in the radio audience here. A Wednesday morning on the Early Line right here on the Sports Grid Network. And how about this? SiriusXM channel 159. Thank you for tuning in as well. We'll keep it moving here with a couple quick updates here throughout Major League Baseball. The division races here, right? New York Yankees 15-1. It's a heavy price to pay. The Toronto Blue Jays at a 17-1 price to win the AL East. But I'm more focused here. There's two races. The Guardians now sit at a minus 340 price over the White Sox, who are plus 370. And the Twins now sitting back at a 15-1. Also, the NL East, Joe Ranieri, which is within a half of the game, The Mets have a minus 210 lead, not because they only have a half of a game, but you're trying to look forward and say, boy, that Mets schedule is really easy. That's where the advantage is coming from. But if I ask you today, Guardians, Mets, Braves, White Sox, what's your thought process here on maybe one of those teams that are dogs taking over the lead here in their respective divisions?
So the Mets, it's going to come down to, I think there's what, the last week in September, first week in October, we've got a series against Atlanta. And that's how it's going to end. And that's probably where it's going to be decided when it's all said and done, Donnie. So I do think the Mets have an opportunity to finish strong and put their stamp on it there in that final series that's going to come up. But the Guardians, do we trust them? I don't know who I trust in that division. I really, really don't. I mean, the White Sox, I keep wanting to stick a fork in them. They keep hanging around. The Guardians don't hit consistently enough for me. I do love the bullpen. They've got some frontline starters there led by Bieber and company. So I would give the edge to the Guardians being able to have enough, especially because of that bullpen late in the season, to be able to get it done.
Yeah, it's going to be one to watch coming down the stretch. It's always fun to see these teams, and also when the pressure really ratchets up, who's actually going to come through. One of those teams where the pressure has gotten to them, you could say, is the Milwaukee Brewers. Even though they picked up a victory yesterday over the Cardinals, they've really faded back. They have no chance to win the division, but taking a look at that, two games back of the San Diego Padres to try to get into that final wild card spot, they sit here at the FanDuel Sportsbook at a plus 198 price. But it's time to turn the page here over to college football. How about this? Hot games and hot topics up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Time to talk some college football here on the Early Line. Joe Ranieri and Donnie Wrightside here on the Sports Grid Network. Let's get into it. Exciting week three coming up in college football. Do we have the true 1-2, 5-6? No, we don't. We actually were expecting a much better profile game from Texas A&M and Miami, which we'll get to in just a few moments. But the number one team, Joe, in the land, freshly crowned for week three, are those Georgia Bulldogs as they head to take on South Carolina in an SEC tilt. Now, for me, he should be able to roll the helmets out there for the Georgia Bulldogs and come of aces in this one, but it is a road game. You're going to get South Carolina's best punch. You're favored by over 3 touchdowns. Is this one of those scenarios that you look at Georgia and say, a little fat and happy on top of the hill, won the championship last year, now number one again. We should be able to just go out here, win, and put on a show. Or could they possibly be on upset alert with Spencer Rattler, who has that high ceiling, but is yet to jump and touch that ceiling yet, Joe Ranieri?
Yeah, I mean, he's not even the best quarterback that's going to be there. It's going to be Stetson Bennett, who it was a nice transfer. It was a nice score for South Carolina, but this team is not even remotely in the same realm of reality that Georgia is right now. And Stetson Bennett has done, we have to stop ignoring this kid, pretending like he's a game manager. That's kind of what it feels like, right? Like he in the NFL, like he's this quarterback where he's Jimmy G, right? Like, don't get in the way. Mm-hmm. Just don't lose the game. Yeah, no. Like this, he is alone going to win Georgia games here, much like he did in that very first one against Oregon here. What else do you want the kid to do here? 334 yards a game here. He lit up Bo Nix and company and that Oregon defense that was supposed to be one of the best out west. I think they begin SEC play. Kirby Smart is reloaded. We've already seen the level of talent after sending 15 guys to the draft last year in the NFL. I don't think there's anything slowing down Georgia. You have to keep in mind, like we talk about Saban in Alabama, Georgia is now in that category. And there's no way around it. It's Alabama, and that's it, guys. The rest are trying to get to that level, but, yeah, no. Georgia is there, and South Carolina, Spencer Rattler, there ain't nobody going to stand in their way, especially now that they've tasted a national championship with still a ton of guys on that team from last year. So, yeah, it's looking good for Georgia, not looking good for South Carolina.
Yeah, Stetson Bennett last week, too. Just one of those get-in, get-out games where you smoke Samford and you're, you know, not in there that long. 300 yards passing in that game. So he is putting up those Heisman statistics that you would like from a number one team. Also taking a look at this game here. You know, last week you had a high-scoring game between Arkansas and South Carolina. So immediately you look over and say, okay, 52.5, that should be going to the over. You brought up a great point, too. The amount of talent just on the defensive side that Georgia lost, you figure there would be a letdown. I don't know, 3 against a top 11 Oregon team when you played them, 0 last week. So Spencer Rattler, if you're going to have any hopes here, you better move the football. Do you have any thoughts on that 52.5, or is this one of those games where, like, we know Georgia will probably score, but my goodness, can South Carolina at least get a touchdown against this Bulldog team that hasn't given up one yet over the first two games?
Yeah, and they're going to pride themselves. And that here lies the problems with totals in Georgia, right? There's I had the under in the Oregon game, Donnie, and I thought it was done by the half, not because Oregon scored or participated in that. It was because Georgia ran them over and scored all the points themselves. There are going to be, I think, a ton of games with Georgia this year just like that. So my look would be whatever that South Carolina team total is, go under. Because getting in the red zone is one thing. Scoring a touchdown against this defense, like last year, is a different animal. Don't see it happening outside of maybe a special teams blunder or some sort of defensive touchdown from South Carolina. Those team totals under against anybody Georgia plays from here on out.
Maybe the national spotlight here, which we expected to be on Oklahoma and Nebraska, probably expected Nebraska to be 3-0 heading into this game. They're 1-2, and they fired their head football coach, Scott Frost. So I guess Mark Whipple is going to take over the offense without having anybody telling him what to do. But it's an interesting scenario because you have a fired coach, an underperforming team, but also in the betting market, Joe, FanDuel Sportsbook, we saw this game open up at a -13.5 as a favorite here towards Oklahoma. We're now down to 10.5. Do you believe that? Because for me, I love to look at this stuff and a buy low chance on a team. If you got the 13.5, great, still sits around 10.5. Do you agree with that market movement here in the game between Oklahoma and Nebraska?
Oh, yikes, yikes. Yeah, I mean, listen, I get it. We have done this. We have done this before, right? And usually pro sports, though, Donnie, where a coach gets fired and it's usually a bet on team from that point because one of two that either the locker room is pure jubilation and they're like, thank God the witch is dead. Like, let us go out and play. And you know, they go on a streak. Or they're so mad at the firing that they, you know, they come together and they feel guilty that it's their reason. And I think there might be some of this with Nebraska here this week. Listen, if this was a Lincoln Riley OU, we'd be having a different conversation here. But Brent Venables, good defensive, great defensive coordinator, but I don't know, are they capable of going? Because I still like the pieces they have in Nebraska. They just, for whatever reason, can't seem to win these close games here. But I think maybe, just maybe, they may not win it. But then again, I don't need them to win it, do I? I need them to cover it. So that's kind of where I think we're looking at with this game here.
Yeah, we'll see where that one winds up. Don't feel bad, by the way, for Scott Frost. He got a big bag to go home and play golf for the rest of the year.
Did.
Now, talking about a big bag and a buyout there, Marcus Freeman, Notre Dame is not going to fire their head coach after 1 year unless things really go off the rails. And my question to you, Joe Ranieri, if we look at Notre Dame, how much trouble are they in for this 2022 season? 0-2 to start, 10 points scored against Ohio State. We actually got positive reviews, Joe, after week one for Notre Dame. But boy, did that end at a loss with Marshall at home. Now you take on the Cal Bears at home in South Bend. How much trouble are we looking at here?
They're in a lot of trouble. New quarterback now. You're the quarterback that started the year here, which, listen, we all thought played a great game against Ohio State, right? On the road in the shoe for his first start, Donnie. And we thought, you know, things were going pretty well for Buckner there and that, you know, it was a letdown against Marshall. But now they got to bring in the kid from that was in relief last year. So they've now gone from a running team, which is how they built this, right, to now it's going to be absolute passing. They're going to be a pass-happy team. The defense is obviously going to keep them in games they probably shouldn't be in. But this is a big ask of this Notre Dame team coming in here, Donnie, isn't it? Especially with a new quarterback, and it's going to have to be a new philosophy because this kid is not going to run. He's not going to have the threat of the run. He's going to drop back and pass. We saw him in the Wisconsin game, I believe, last year when he had to come in relief. There's a lot happening with this Notre Dame squad. Very prideful group, talent on defense, but my goodness, Donnie, how are they going to score?
I mean, come on. Throw it to Mayer every single play. Now, we only have about left in the segment. Yeah, we only have a minute left here. BYU Cougars, Joe, to the college football playoff, win over Baylor, top 10 team. Now we see the BYU Cougars moving closer to the top 10. They got a game matchup here if they get by Oregon this week. That's the key on the road. They play Notre Dame on the road. No longer seems like a big-time atmosphere here. And then they take on Arkansas at home, who's number 10 currently here. Can they make it, Joe? Can BYU sneak in and crash that party?
Why is Oregon still in the top 25? Mind-blowing. We have this conversation every year with BYU. And then they, like last year, then they had Baylor on the list. They go there, they lose, and then we stop talking about them over here. Yes. I always side with a team that's got 30-year-olds on it. I do think BYU has an absolute opportunity experience-wise to run over this Oregon team. It's going to be a tough atmosphere, but when you're 30, you're kind of used to that already. Give me BYU.
Always take the married men out there is what Joe and Erie's telling you. FanDuel Sports up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Having some fun here on a Wednesday as we prepare for the NFL weekend, which starts tomorrow night with a fantastic game between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Los Angeles Chargers. And by the way, Joe, it took me a few years here, and I'm finally getting it right where I don't have to stumble over saying the San Diego Chargers and the Los Angeles Chargers. So that's a pretty good start for us. But let's have some fun in the FanDuel market here. Week 2 NFL specials are up. There's 15 of those. We'll go through. We'll have some fun. We'll see if they make some sense. And also, these are going to increase, starting at a plus 150 price all the way up to as high as 8-1. If we're starting tomorrow night, you know we're always talking about the quarterbacks, Joe and Erie. Yeah, but how about this one? Either Patrick Mahomes or Justin Herbert throws 4 or more touchdown passes. Not combined. If you have one side, Patrick Mahomes throws 5. Obviously, it cashed it in. But 3 and 3 for 6 combined, that doesn't get it done. Do you believe that either Mahomes or Herbert can throw for 4 or more touchdowns tomorrow to cash in a plus 150 price?
I think Herbert's got the better shot at doing it because I do think that they are going to be hard-pressed, Kansas City, to drop Mahomes back as much as possible against this defensive front. This ain't the Raiders. And while he had a ton of, while Kansas City's defense, of course, is not the Raiders and what we saw there, which did a pretty good job of limiting the Chargers when you think about how explosive they could be, I do think the Chiefs got to run the ball to have more success here. And they can't just be dropping back and letting those crazies there with Bosa and Khalil Mack, feast. So I do think this might be a little bit lower scoring, so I'm a little worried. But I think of the two, I absolutely think Herbert's the guy that's got a better shot at doing it. I'm not convinced, though, that Mahomes, I'm not sure Kansas City wins this game if he's got to throw 4 more touchdowns.
Yeah, throwing 4 touchdowns in a game, it's no easy feat, even though we saw Mahomes go last week for 5 and probably could add 7 if Arizona could return any sort of fire in that game. If we're taking a look at running back, Saquon Barkley was sensational opening day. So this one also catches our eye at a plus 150 price. Either Saquon Barkley or Christian McCaffrey, keep in mind they play each other this week, to have 150-plus scrimmage yards. So that includes rushing and receiving. Are we believing in either one of these running backs? Because, quite frankly, they're going to be the mainstay in this game. It's going to be a lot of touches between these two.
What if I gave you plus 350, neither makes it through the game without getting hurt?
That's a good one.
Would you take that also?
Because, odds boost.
That's my problem.
Make it an odds boost.
That's Yeah, I mean, you know, you've got two glass Joes here right now that when the wind blows, they get hurt. And then we end up losing them for long stretches here. It should be the easiest cashed ticket of the weekend here. The fact that the only offense is going to come from Barkley. We know that. And Christian McCaffrey, you know, as he goes, this Carolina team will go. So both should be able to catch the ball out of the backfield and have enough success running the ball to cash this ticket. The biggest problem is, will either of them be on the field in the fourth quarter?
Got it. And also, we're going to skip down a couple of these because obviously if we took all, we would take the entire 2 hours of the early line. But some fun ones also here. The Dallas Cowboys game is interesting. These two wide receivers are lining up here. Ja'Marr Chase and CeeDee Lamb to combine for 200 or more receiving yards at a plus 150 price. These ones are fun. Why? Because if Ja'Marr Chase goes for 200 yards, it doesn't matter what CeeDee Lamb actually did in this game. One guy has a buck 50, the other guy has 50. You still cash this ticket. Are we believing here that Cooper Rush can provide some ammunition for CeeDee Lamb? Because the one thing that we do know, Ja'Marr Chase is a pretty good player, and also their quarterback, Joe Burrow, he can get it to him. 200 yards, Joe, are we believing here?
Yeah, it's got to be all Ja'Marr Chase. But boy, oh boy, Lamb didn't look great in that first one when his quarterback was playing there. Did not look great against that Tampa D. But again, Cincinnati's D is not Tampa's D. So I do think this one has a shot at actually cashing there, Donnie. If I can get at least 70, 80 yards out of CeeDee Lamb, I think we're good to go.
Yeah. You need that big play. You need that Ja'Marr Chase, one catch, 75 yards in the first quarter, and away you go in that game. Now, let's take a look at this one. One of the true stories in professional football over the past, I don't know, 15 years or however Aaron Rodgers has been in the league, he dominates the Chicago Bears. This is a good one here at the FanDuel Sportsbook for this Week 2 special. Does he still own them is the question mark here. Aaron Rodgers to throw three or more touchdown passes against the Bears at a plus 175 price. We don't have Devontae Adams. We know these wide receivers are going to struggle in 2022, at least for the beginning of the season. Do you believe against this Bears defense and at home in Lambeau, Aaron Rodgers can notch three touchdown passes?
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And yeah, no, it ain't necessarily broke. Keep in mind that he didn't have, Lazard, I think, in that game. He didn't have his best offensive lineman in that game also there on against Minnesota. So, and we've seen this movie before with Aaron Rodgers. There is no better way to get back on track during the season, Donnie, than what? Green Bay playing the Chicago Bears. Is there a monsoon scheduled? Oh, no? Okay, good. Yeah, no. Aaron Rodgers will absolutely go out of his way to build some rapport with some of those new guys, and I bet you they don't drop touchdown passes like they did against Minnesota. Dotson.
Yeah, the only question mark I have is do the Chicago Bears the Packers actually need to score three touchdowns to beat the Chicago Bears this weekend? But that's a pretty nice price to have at this point.
Oh, yeah.
Here's one of my favorite ones that I circled here: a 3-1 price, and it has to deal with this Cleveland Browns. Myles Garrett to record a sack, and Nick Chubb to have 100 or more rushing yards at a 3-1 price. If you had this very same bet week one against Carolina, you cruise to a 3-1 victory here. Going up against the Jets, I expect the Browns to beat the Jets, which means they don't have to do all that much with a Joe Flacco-led offense, so you can sort of run that football and run the clock. And also, Myles Garrett getting after a statue. I like this one at 3-1 here, Joe.
Listen, Flacco dropped back 59 times.
59.
That is not a recipe for success. Even if it was 2005, that's not a recipe for success with Joe Flacco and the Jets. 22 pressures they gave up to the Ravens there. And again, they're a mess on the offensive line. But they also, keep in mind, shot themselves in the foot a ton. That being the Jets, they had a ridiculous 81 yards in penalties. They had fumbles, a wide open pass for a touchdown by the Jets were in that game more than the final score tells them, but they did a great job of shooting themselves in the foot. If they clean it up, to me, Cleveland is one dimensional. So are you going to run the ball on that front of the Jets, that front seven of the Jets? at some point, Jacoby Brissett has got to beat you. Can he beat them? Yes. I worry about the rushing because they're going to sell out to stop everybody on the rush, and that means Jacoby Brissett. I don't have a problem with Myles Garrett getting to Flacco, but I have a problem thinking that they're somehow just going to run all over this Jets front seven here. I worry about it because they're going to make Brissett beat him, not Nick Chubb.
Now, how much of the point spread do we give for Brownie the Elf being the midfield, you know, marker there?
Is that solid 2 points, point.
3 points? What is that?
That's a solid point. Okay. Point. I didn't realize that. Well, if they're on their side of Brownie the Elf, I think they're going to be okay. I think they can probably hit this. But Brownie the Elf going to play a big role here, mostly because the Jet defenders are probably going to be laughing as they're standing on top of Brownie the Elf. You know that, and I know that, Donnie.
Now, I mean, trust me, if the Jets go in there and beat the Cleveland Browns with Brownie the Elf at midfield, we will never hear the end of the Brownie the Elf game in Cleveland lore here. Let's take a look at one more of these fan weekly specials before we hit some of the higher scoring markets. Monday Night Football, two wide receivers that really got down to business on opening weekend, Justin Jefferson and A.J. Brown, to have 100-plus receiving yards each. So in this game, so AJ Brown has to go over 100, and also Justin Jefferson. If that happens, that's a 5-1 ticket in your back pocket.
It might happen by the half, Donnie. I mean, let's be realistic here.
You guys know.
Yeah, I know. Will they get give us more money there, FanDuel, for that? Listen, exactly. Justin Jefferson and Hackett, the new coach there from Minnesota, who did this with Cooper Kupp. He did it also with Devontae Adams when he was with, Green Bay. They have this way of getting guys like Jefferson in space. They build the offense around him. So I think Jefferson has got no problem doing his part in that. And let's face it, how many did A.J. Brown have last week there, Donnie? You're in Philly. He is going to have a monster season this year for Philadelphia. And I think it starts Monday night with another big effort by him at home.
Now, if we're talking about only Monday night games, you have a great doubleheader to watch. But Sunday, the Sunday-only market, the highest-scoring game, if we take a look across the board, Cardinals and the Raiders, plus 500, Commanders and the Lions, plus 650, Falcons and the Rams, plus 800, and onward as we move on. I think we're on the same page here. Your highest-scoring game on Sunday, where's that value for you, Joe Ranieri?
Oh, it's Washington and the Lions, my friend. Mm. I am not a believer in the Cardinals' offense, but I do think the Raiders' defense will do a pretty good job against them. Too many injuries there for my taste. So I think the Commanders and the Lions are going to have a lot of success running the ball. Dotson's going to have a big game throwing a ball. Give me that at 6-1, 650 to plus 650.
Plus 650. Who would have thought that you'd have those two teams being the highest scoring? And I agree with Joe Ranieri here. Now, Major League Baseball is on deck. A huge card for today. We're going to preview that next. Come on back with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we are going to talk some Major League Baseball, but not quite yet as we clean up this FanDuel market, which we're having so much fun talking about here. Just went over the highest scoring game, and Joe and I are in agreements here, the Commanders and the Lions. But as always, if you have, Joe, a highest scoring game, you know what the other betting market is? The lowest scoring game of the week. If we list the favorites here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, the Steelers and the Patriots, plus 650. The Jets and Browns, plus 650. The Bears and the Packers, 8-1. Panthers, Giants, 8-1. And the Seahawks and the Niners, plus 850. Is any one of these games piquing your interest where you think it will be the lowest scoring game of the week?
Yeah, it's boy, there are some beauties on here, aren't there? I think, though, if I'm going to look at this, I worry about the Patriots, Steelers, Jets, and Browns are the obvious one, but I'm thinking Seahawks 49ers might have just a tinge of under and disgustingness all over it as we saw the Seahawks play two quarters of football. And then I don't know if they ever came out of the locker room there, Donnie, offensively there. Everyone, Geno Smith for MVP until they saw him in the third and fourth quarter and he was on the sideline. Trey Lance, that experiment, yeesh. But I do think maybe defensively, I'm going to take a stab here, plus 850 on the Seahawks and 49ers being the lowest scoring game here.
I like where you're going with that, too, because when I set up this card early this morning, the Panthers and the Giants were even with the 49ers and the Seahawks at plus 850. That's the way I went. I just see more of a ground and pound in that game. We'll see who wins that one. But also, same type of market here for us. Highest scoring team, Joe Ranieri, and lowest scoring team here of the week. Ooh. If we're looking at the highest scoring team, and keep in mind, no Monday Night Football, no Thursday Night Football, just the Sunday slate here. The Rams are the favorite at plus 750, Raiders at 8-1, Broncos at plus 950, 13-1 for the San Francisco 49ers. Here's why I love these markets, too. It's not as if, Joe, they're telling you, well, you get the Rams at a plus 170 price. You're getting legitimate, right, like lotto-type tickets if you go down the list here. I love it. For me, I'm actually going with the Denver Broncos at plus 950 to get angry and revenge their opening day loss. They're not going to fumble a million times inside the one. I think they punch it up into the 30s. I'll take the Denver Broncos as my highest scoring team of the week. Who do you got here, Joe?
You are not a bad way to go there, Donnie. In fact, I love where you go with that because I do tend to agree with you here. But I also think we're going to see a much improved Cincinnati Bengals offense as well. So I do think there will be cut back on the five, turnovers there. Get Chase more involved, get Mixon more involved. I do think the Bengals are poised to have quite the offensive game there this weekend. So at plus 1,300? Yeah, I'll take a little stab here with the Bengals being that that big scoring team this week.
Maybe my favorite market of the week. And if you like a lot of pain, this is the market that you bet. That is the lowest scoring team of the week. Once again, Sunday only. Seattle Seahawks at a plus 850. The Bears at a plus 850. The Jets at a 10-1. The Cowboys at a 10-1. Again, you're not getting these bad football teams, Joe, like plus 275. Mm-hmm. You're getting big numbers. Where are you going in this market where you think one of these teams is really going to stink up the joint Sunday?
Yeah, and I mean, call me crazy here, Donnie, but something tells me that we are not going to get the same type of offensive output from Marcus Mariota and the Atlanta Falcons as we just saw. I mean, listen, he's kind of been the forgotten guy, right, Mariota? He's been in the background there since he was traded away from Tennessee. Nobody's really known. Arthur Smith, I thought, game planned a nice offense to highlight what Mariota does well. The problem is now the cat's out of the bag and defensive coordinators now see what you're doing with Mariota. They also have tape on him to know what else he doesn't do very well. And I think the Rams at home are going to be a little ticked off with the outcome from the Bills. So I fully anticipate points being very hard to come by for the Atlanta Falcons in this one.
Yeah, so Aaron Donald crashing down the fort. Maybe not a lot of open running lanes for Cordarrelle Patterson to run for over 100 yards in this game. So we'll find that out. But for me, I'm going to take a game out here that may have the capabilities to match up against Iowa State last week. And I'm going to take the Pittsburgh Steelers as my lowest scoring team at a 15-1 price here. And I will not be surprised if Bill Belichick and Mike Tomlin are at 7-3 by the time we have the end of the third quarter. So we'll see how that one plays out, but it's a fun market to bet into. And once again, there are lottery tickets if you want to go down. How about if you think the Colts won't be as good? I mean, the Colts had 3 points in the second half against the Texans, Joe. They're 42-1 to be the lowest scoring team of the week. So a lot of fun you can have in these FanDuel markets. But we do have Major League Baseball here on the horizon. Large card for a Thursday afternoon. A lot of afternoon games. And where I want to start this one is Colorado going up against the Chicago White Sox. 929, 930 on the rotation. The reason I like this here is Freeland is a lefty on the mound. We'll get to that in just a few moments. We also talked about the AL Cy Young market at a minus 140 price at the FanDuel Sportsbook, which Dylan Cease is the favorite to win that award. He's a heavy favorite today at a minus 250 price. The total is listed at 7.5. If I'm betting this game, the way I want to approach it is two ways here. If we're looking at the Chicago White Sox, what's the one thing they do really well, or at least over the past few years? Hit left-handed pitching. If we're looking at their lineup today, Joe, over the past 30 days in Major League Baseball, going up against right-handed pitchers, take a look at these weighted on base percentages here. Elvis Andrews, a 573. Yoenis Moncada, 584. Jose Abreu, 360. Jimenez, 470. Pollock, 510. Yep. Zavala, 535. Gonzalez, 484. It's off the charts. I love the Chicago White Sox on the run line today, and I love their team total. And maybe Dylan Cease punching his ticket towards that AL Cy Young.
Yeah, it's amazing that what we've seen from this White Sox team as well, once La Russa was not in the dugout anymore, they were barely a 500 team with him. Now without him, they're 10-4. Shocking how that happened here. And listen, Colorado on the road? No. There can't be first five run line. Give me a late half a run. Give me every which way to back the White Sox to get it done. Team totals under for Colorado. You name it here. I think they found a little something here. And with Cease on the mound, I think they're ready to go here. They can't afford any more letdowns. And, oh, by the way, La Russa won't be in a dugout. So there you go.
Ah. There's a positive right off the bat here. We'll see a minus 140 price here for Cease. If he has a good performance, he probably will extend that lead over over Verlander. But when we talk about Verlander, too, when is he coming back? We're not really sure. So maybe it's Cease's market to win against Justin Verlander. 903, 904 on the rotation. 345 Eastern first pitch here. Atlanta's going to start Charlie Morton on the mound, going up against Carlos Rodon, the lefty here for the San Francisco Giants. If we're looking at the total numbers here, opened up at a minus 120 price. We're seeing that rise a little bit higher here at the FanDuel Sportsbook currently at a minus 124. The total in this game, Joe Neary, a 7.5. And I got to tell you, I'm leaning towards the under today out there in San Francisco.
What a battle this was back in June, as both guys threw really good, but neither one of them were in the decision due to the fact that the Braves scored, I believe, three in the bottom of the ninth to walk it off and win 4-3. Mm-hmm. Totals is the way I would go here. I mean, my goodness, Rodon has been absolutely amazing, and yet Charlie Morton has really gotten better in typical Charlie Morton style, right, Donnie? He gets better as the season goes on. A lot of guys stuck a fork in him early this year. No. He's been real good. Unbeaten in his last seven. 3-0 with a 3.40 ERA. He hasn't lost since July 27th to your Philadelphia Phillies. Yeah, I mean, he's 38 years old, but he is crafty, and I'm going first five under, and I would even look team total under for the Giants because they can't score runs, and they won't against Charlie Morton again here today.
Haves and the have-nots in Major League Baseball. The Braves trying to track down the Mets and get into the playoffs, and then you have the San Francisco Giants not really playing for too much here in the month of September. We'll keep moving forward here. Another afternoon baseball game. This one, playoff implications all the way around. San Diego Padres and the Seattle Mariners lineup today. That's a 4-10 start. If we're looking at this game overall, Luis Castillo on the mound here going to go up against Mike Clevinger. And for me, the price is a little bit high. But again, price and value is in the eye of the beholder. A minus 162 price live here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. A total listed at 7.5. Luis Castillo, since coming over from the Cincinnati Reds, has been wonderful. Even over the past 30 days, Joe, a 3.06 xFIP number, K percentage above 30%, not walking a lot of batters, and his splits are very good, dominating lefties to the tune of a 265 weighted on base percentage. Righties at a 329, right around average. But if we flip it over here and take a look at Clevinger on the mound for the Padres, a little bit of a different story over the past month, a 6.4 xFIP number, lower strikeout rate, and also 55 batters, Joe, that he's faced from the right-hand side, a 371 weighted on base percentage in an ISO of 250. Usually, I don't like to bet anything higher than a minus 150, but if I'm looking money lines here, I think the Mariners bounce back today against Clevinger and pick up this W.
Yeah, a very playoff atmosphere-esque. I think Melvin even said it last night after the game. And that's kind of what I think you're feeling here with both of these guys. Maybe pressing a little because neither has this tremendous, hey, you're in, don't worry about it. The Padres are clinging. Soto's not hitting. There are some question marks there. So I do think we're going to get that similar feel here on an afternoon game after they played well into the night last night in a masterful Darvish performance. But I think we're going to get more of the same here, Donnie. I'm leading towards the under in this one here, thinking that, yeah, this is going to feel and look a lot like something we're going to see in a couple of weeks here in the postseason. Give me the under, 7.5.
There we go. Talking about postseason Major League Baseball, how about this one here? The New York Yankees headed to the postseason. The Boston Red Sox are going to be headed home for the postseason. But my question is not the game itself, which I do think the Yankees will win, but it's Aaron Judge, and he hits two home runs last night. Can he extend that? The question is, Bello's going to be on the mound today, a right-handed pitcher, 3.83 xFIP. He's got unbelievably good splits over the past 30 days. If we're just lining up Aaron Judge versus Bello, 46 batters that Bello has faced over the right-hand side over the past month, Joe, 264 weighted on base percentage, but a zero ISO power number. My question to you, even knowing that, is Judge going yard tonight for number 58?
If they pitch to him, that's going to be the big question here. How many times are they going to give Judge an opportunity to beat them in this game? And by the way, Nestor, who was president last time he actually won a game here? It feels like it's been a long time here, Donnie, that he's actually gotten a W. It might happen here tonight, but I'm expecting a lot of runs in this game.
The consummate professional Joe Ranieri rising up with us on the early line. Thank you for the previous 2 hours here, and get some rest because it is football season. No rest for the weary, though. We got to come back here with a little listen up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, last segment of the day right here for the early line. Sirius XM Channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network. Today, Joe Ranieri and me, Donnie Wrightside, brought that pain from 7 to 9 a.m. and a lot of interesting topics all the way across the board. Excited once again for NFL Week 2 here. But before, you know, you get your Sports Grid day going here, I get it, but Ben's going to come up next year. He'll handle his business on TMA. But I am so excited because Week 3 is when I really start to hit the gas pedal here. Team totals, sides, bets. We really get involved in it. But I want to caution you, watch out. Betting approach for Week 2. Listen up. Now, if you are entering into the betting market here in Week 2, one of the most turbulent weeks in all of sports for handicappers, what did you see Week 1? Was it real? Is it going to follow through to Week 2? And also, are you using in your handicapping prowess Brownie the Elf being a 2 or 3 point advantage here for the Browns at home against the New York Jets? If you're doing that, you're probably doing it wrong. But again, what are we going to see from Week 1 to Week 2? Keep in mind, football teams improve more from Week 1 to Week 2, whether that's high school, college, or the professional ranks, than any other week during the season. So if we're going to sit back and take a look at, is Miami for real? Are the Baltimore Ravens okay without a dominant running game, or at least J.K. Dobbins back in their life? Are we taking a look at that Monday night football game where you say to yourself, boy, the Philadelphia Eagles really are contenders. They handled their business against a pretty solid Minnesota Vikings team. Are there teams that are going to really look better than they did in Week 1? The New England Patriots were horrendous when they took on the Miami Dolphins. Now they're going to go play the Pittsburgh Steelers. Is this a Bill Belichick special where they come out and actually put up points into the 20s here and easily handle their business, a lot can be decided. But after week two, you're going to have your finger on the pulse of what is what in the NFL, and I can't wait for it. But having said that, week two on deck, you don't think DRS is betting some of these football games and some of these weekly specials on the FanDuel Sportsbook? You're crazy. Of course I am. Now make sure you stay tuned to Ben Stevens and the Morning After coming up now on The Grid.